So we said, we've spent the last however many years, 12 years or whatever, you know, helping businesses grow. Let's just take that skill set. And instead of helping these non-vegan and these kind of ethically neutral businesses to grow, let's help vegans grow their business.
Green Hero. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Green Hero podcast. This is Ricard, founder of Green Hero, your go-to source for making plant-based eating easy and enjoyable. Each week, we'll be digging into the inspiring journeys of people who live a plant-based lifestyle to tease out the most effective and fun ways to add more plants to your life.
Green Hero. Green Hero. Green Hero.
Vegan Business Tribe is a community for plant-based entrepreneurs that help grassroots vegan businesses get off the ground. In his previous career, David was an ambassador for the Chartered Institute of Marketing, as well as running his own marketing and business growth agency for over 12 years. David, welcome and thank you for joining us on our podcast. I'm super excited to have you on our show.
Fantastic, Ricard. I absolutely love being here. And just before we hit record, you were just giving me a little bit of a download of what you've been doing yourself. And you were just doing some amazing work to move the vegan and the plant-based scene forward. So I just want to start by saying, you know, thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much. So David, where are you calling in from today?
So I am calling in from the UK over in Europe. So we're sort of in the north of the UK. So the UK's got a north-south divide like the US has the east-west divide. So we're in the north, which is perhaps a bit more industrial. We've got lots of huge landscapes and things like that here, but it's a lovely place to be based.
Oh, that sounds awesome. And so you and your partner, Lisa, you're involved in so many things vegan that I was like, I don't really know where to start right now. But I was thinking maybe a good entry point would be like, when did you first hear about veganism and what did your life look like then?
Gosh, what a good question to start with, because I have to kind of remind myself of when I actually went vegan myself, because, you know, I only went vegan in 2017, 2018, which is absolutely ridiculous for the huge impact that it's had on my life. It's, you know, it's impacted my career, it's impacted my relationships, it's impacted, you know, even my family relationships and things like that. But to me, it was very much a 10-year journey. And I didn't actually really pick up on the idea of veganism for a long, long time. Because originally, I went, as I think a lot of people do, vegetarian. And I did that originally for my health. Now, I've always been a business person. I've always had my own businesses. And as part of being in business, you do a lot of networking. You go to a lot of corporate events. And these corporate events are brilliant at feeding you. So I would be going to these events and they would have the bacon sandwiches and things like that. And because of my kind of very compulsive nature, I would always hang out around the food areas and I'd be eating so much bad stuff. So that was the reason I actually first went vegetarian, was just to try and cut down on the bad food that I was eating. But it's a little bit of a little bit of a rabbit warren when you start looking into it, because the algorithms that run our lives online draw you into veganism. And so if you're online and you're just looking at, say, vegetarian recipes, it's only going to be a short period of time before the algorithms on Google and social and things like that start saying, oh yeah, this guy's interested in these kind of alternative diets, these alternative lifestyles, and they start showing you other stuff. And so that 10-year journey for me, from going from vegetarianism to then going on to meat reduction and then dairy reduction, it wasn't until I was looking at something completely unrelated online that the next video that popped up on YouTube was this very strange video of these small chicks, these lovely fluffy yellow chicks on a conveyor belt. And I was like, what is this? Where have these chicks been taken? And they were being taken into a macerator. And I just didn't understand. I was like, well, why are they killing baby chicks? And it's simply, you know, that's how the egg industry works. You know, baby male chicks are a waste product. And so I couldn't believe that was happening. And I couldn't believe that was happening, you know, somewhere like the UK as well. And so you just start to learn more about it. So I think, just like many people, I kind of accidentally became vegan. I never had any desire to go vegan. And I think had you told me 10 years ago, you are going to become vegan, I would have just laughed at you.
Yeah. And how long was this time that you kind of first jumped into being vegetarian, maybe because of health reasons, and then like becoming vegan? Like how long did that span in time?
I think that was probably close to 8, maybe 10 years or something like that. Mm. And just like every vegan, you know, before me who says the exact same thing, I just wish I'd have known sooner. But I had no reason to make that ethical connection. You know, I wasn't doing it for the animals. I was doing it very much for myself. But it is that journey. And I think that leads me to say, you know, when I'm talking to pre-vegans, when I'm talking to people who haven't turned vegan yet themselves, I never feel that I can take the moral high ground because I've probably eaten far more animal products than the person I'm talking to who is not yet vegan. And so I can't be saying to you, yes, you're evil for doing this, you're wrong for doing it, when I did it for, you know, close to 40 years. So I think that's always a really important part of it as well, of actually realizing none of us were born vegan. So yeah. Some of our children are, you know, now, which is absolutely wonderful. But we have to realize we started out in the exact same place as everybody else as well.
Yeah. I think that's interesting as well. It's just something that's maybe not highlighted as much, which is really this journey from when it starts to like when you become completely vegan, for example, that, as you say, like it took you 10 years. Some people think that, oh, I have to start eating more plant-based or becoming vegan. And it's just like an overnight thing. And people are telling you like, you're bad for doing this. But I think it's so interesting to highlight with so many people who are coming into this, like the whole vegan community,
yes,
that they also had this journey that was like really long to get here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, part of the work we do now is we actually consult with some of the large food brands and some of the fast food chains and things like that. And this is kind of the education that we give them. We talk to them about this consumer journey. And when somebody first starts looking at plant-based products, they're not yet on that journey to being vegan. And, you know, people will say, what percentage of the population is vegan at the moment? And depending on what surveys you're looking at, it's somewhere between 3 to 6% of the population. And if that's the case, why are Burger King, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, KFC, you know, bringing out all these vegan recipes and all these plant-based alternatives just for such a small percentage of the marketplace? And it's because everybody is now flexitarian. You know, if I think about not just food, but even services and things like that. So we have a vegan hotel or a vegan bed and breakfast quite close to us on the coast. It's called a P-Zone Park Vegan B&B. And the last time I stayed there with my partner, Lisa, we were possibly the only vegans eating breakfast that morning. And at the table next to me was actually a semi-retired butcher and his wife. And so he'd had all sorts of health problems going on. He had high cholesterol. He'd been to the doctors and the doctor said, look, you need to cut down on meat and dairy. And so he'd booked a weekend at a vegan B&B just to find out what the hell vegans eat, you know? And so the conversation we had with him and his wife that morning was just absolutely wonderful because, you know, he was being very defensive at the start, thinking we were going to judge him. He didn't really want to say about what he did, but that's my standard question being in business is, oh, what do you actually do? So, you know, When we actually got talking to him about what he did and he realized that we weren't been judging and that actually we'd only been vegan ourselves for about 5 years, that was such a wonderful conversation about why we first turned vegan. We didn't really talk about the ethics of it. We talked about the health side of it. So we have to realize that there are so many people who are consuming vegan products and who are wanting to learn about veganism and are actually going out there and spending money on vegan products and services who are nowhere near being vegan, but it's still just a wonderful marketplace. And I think that's what's contributed to the rise in the sector so much over this past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. And I mean, now when we're talking as well, like I'm here in New York, you're in Europe and I'm from Sweden. So one of the things that I see as well is just like, you know, in Europe, you guys are so much more exposed to the conversation, especially around climate change. Mm-hmm. And in the media are talking about this and they're saying climate change. And in the next sentence, they are saying, let's eat more plant-based food. Let's reduce our meat consumption. And I think that has so much to do with the awareness. While here in the US, you know, like a watchdog organization looked into the news, I think 700 news segments during one of the hurricanes here. And 3% of those news segments mentioned the word climate change. So like, it feels like it's much more top of mind in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely, it is as well. And I think a lot of that is we've got a lot of vegan movements over here. I mean, if you look at someone like the Vegan Society started back in 1944, I think it was, Donald Watson. And, you know, we talk about veganism being a modern concept. It is absolutely not. You know, we are really standing on the shoulders of giants. But because we've got that maturity in the vegan scene over here in the UK and Europe, people have realized that if you go and talk to people about animal rights and about the ethical treatment of animals, they will switch off. Unless they've already got some interest in that, or unless they've already had some first-hand experience, they don't want to know about the ethical side. So I think in Europe, we learned a long time ago that the way to get people to actually move towards eating more plants and a plant-based diet is to talk about things like health, and is to talk about things like the environment, which we care about a lot. So that link between animal agriculture and the environment, that was made a long time ago over here in Europe, and that's just starting to mature now as people realize that's the way to get people interested in veganism.
Yeah. No, 100% agree. Mm. So you became a vegetarian, then vegan, and how did this whole, the work that you're doing start then? Like the Vegan Business Tribe, like when did you decide like, hey, I really want to work with this too? You know, I just don't want to just eat vegan food.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, so much of this was by accident, and so much of it is such an interesting story. And when we speak to our Vegan Business Tribe members, we hear the same kind of story echoed back at us. I think a lot of people have been through a similar journey to we have, because, I mean, I didn't turn vegan until I was almost 40. And by that time in your life, you've already built up some career capital, shall we call it. You know, you've already got skills. You've already started to build that career. So at some point, when you turn vegan, I mean, the first thing you look at is the food you eat, because that's the obvious place to start. And then maybe you look at the clothes you wear, maybe the cosmetics and what you're putting on your body. But at some point, you start to think, well, what am I actually doing with my time? And this whole conversation, it was actually prompted by someone who is now a very good friend of ours. But when we first met him, we didn't know him at all. And it was somebody called John Arwin. And John Arwin is a vegan activist here in the UK. And he speaks at a lot of local vegan festivals. And so that year, when myself and Lisa went to hear him speak, he'd spoken, I think, at 55 festivals over 52 weeks. So he'd been out there every single weekend on the road. It didn't matter if he was talking to two people or he was talking to 50 people, he would be there talking about veganism. And what he said to us sticks with us even to now. And he said, being vegan isn't enough. Just because you've turned vegan, animal agriculture is still happening. It's still going on. All you've actually done is just opted out. So if you actually care about the vegan cause, you have to do something to move that cause forward. You've got to do something to bring more people over to plant-based eating. And myself and Lisa at the time, we were feeling, you know, quite chuffed with ourselves because we'd recently turned vegan. We'd stopped eating all the animal products. But we just sat there throughout that and said, he's absolutely right. We're very passionate about this. So we've got to do something about it. So at the time, we were already running a business growth and marketing agency. So we said, we've spent the last however many years, 12 years or whatever, you know, helping businesses grow. Let's just take that skill set. And instead of helping these non-vegan and these kind of ethically neutral businesses to grow, let's help vegans grow their business. And we found out something really, really important very quickly. And that is, vegan businesses have no money. So we were going out there as consultants, charging £1,500 a day. We found some amazing vegan businesses, but not many of those businesses were actually answering our calls, shall we say. So what we actually did was we said, well, let's go out there anyway. We want to work in this industry. And because we're marketeers and because we were making a lot of noise, who we actually ended up working for was the large brands. So we actually ended up working with some of the high food QSR, the fast food chains. We ended up working with a couple of the Unilever brands and some of the big food manufacturers, just actually educating them on the vegan marketplace and who is actually the customer for plant-based products. So we did that for a couple of years. But then I got asked to speak at an event at the London Olympia here in the UK called the Plant Powered Expo, I think it was. And what I usually do when I speak at these kind of events is I talk about plant-based consumers and why people are buying vegan. But instead, the organizer said, could you actually talk about running a vegan business instead? Because we had set up our own vegan agency. And I said, well, it's not really the kind of thing I want to talk about. It's not going to get me any customers, but because you're such a nice guy, let's do it. Let's put on a slot about just how to run a vegan business. And we turned up on the day expecting just to have two or three people watching us, and we had 60. We had standing room only of all these people who wanted to run a vegan business, who wanted to bring together their ethics with how they made a living, but didn't know where to start. And that's when we realized we can't work with these people one-on-one because they just don't have the budgets. But if we can work with people in a collective way, then we can make a real difference. We can help these people set up their vegan businesses. We can help them grow their vegan businesses. And that's then how we can do our activism. That's how we can help the vegan scene move forward.
And now when you're kind of more helping businesses as a collective, what are kind of the steps that you see that these are the things that these businesses need help with?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's fair to say, and I hope nobody kind of gets at me for saying this, but vegans tend to start business because of their passion, not because they've got business skills. So, what we find is just the right bit of advice at the right time, that can make all the difference to somebody's business. Because people come to us at Vegan Business Tribe and they might have already spent months and sometimes thousands of dollars as well, maybe building a website or creating a brand or doing lots of product development. They're wanting to get their business just right before they launch. But anything you do with a business before you have a paying customer, anything you do before you've got your product into the hands of somebody who wants that product is just a guess. So if you've spent thousands of dollars on building a website and a brand and getting everything right, when you launch, you've built that business for you. You've not built it for your customers. So one thing we always try to get businesses to do, especially if they are a new start business, is just get out there as quickly as you can. Don't make it perfect. Just get it into the hands of customers. Start to build up an audience, because so many businesses launch and then you'll see 2 or 3 months later, they realize that everything they presumed before they launched wasn't quite right. So they will rebrand, they will do a new website just 2 or 3 months after they launch. So you want to avoid that. So as much as possible, we're getting people just to get out there, start engaging with customers, start to build an audience, because that audience will then tell you everything you need to have a successful business.
And how are you thinking about it then when they launch? Is it more like build a community, or are you thinking much more like, no, let's start small, let's start with a few customers and kind of work closely with them, see what they think, and then kind of move forward? Is that kind of the idea?
100%. I think I would say it depends on the business, but it doesn't. It depends on the business owner. You get some people, and I love interviewing these people as well, who you will talk to them on month one of launching their business. And then I'll talk to them again 4 or 5 months later, and they're already in the supermarkets. And you're like, well, how did you do that? And it's just because that is their personality. They only have one speed that they can go. They've only got one gear and they just blast away and do it. And that's absolutely amazing when people do that. But for other people, they're learning as they go. They don't want to be so haphazard and just kind of crash their way through business. They actually want to build something. And so a lot of the time, I think if you look at how we actually started Vegan Business Tribe, we ran Vegan Business Tribe completely for free for about, I think it was about 8 months. So people still had to sign up to the website. They still had to make an account, but it cost absolutely nothing. And the reason we wanted to do that was so that we could build an audience first, because for the first half of my career, I spent all that time building things that I wanted to build and I wanted to sell, but very few people wanted to buy. So what I've done in the second half of my career is kind of flipped that around and found out what people actually want first and then build those things. So if you look at Vegan Business Tribe, In that 8 months, we picked up about 800 people who signed up to the website. And what that gave me was it gave us a lovely audience to be able to actually engage with and say, well, what do you actually want? What can we monetize? Because my original idea for Vegan Business Tribe was that we'd just be content. So, you know, I would have a very nice, easy life. Once a week, I would put an article together. I'd maybe, you know, record a video, you know, live the life of an influencer, and people would pay for that. And had I have done that, we would have gone broke within a couple of months because that wasn't what people wanted. And so when we had this group of people, when we had this audience, I came to this audience and I said, right, out of everything we're doing here, what would you pay for? Would you pay for our content? And they said, absolutely not. And I went, what do you mean you wouldn't pay for this content? You know how much time and effort we put into writing this and producing this? I went, no, calm down, Dave. We absolutely love your content, but that's not why we're here. The content is what got us. The content is what brought us here. But what we actually want is A, B, and C. We want a community. We want to be able to take a little bit of your time to help coach us through things. We want to be able to link up with other people who have also got a vegan business as well. And that's when we realized what Vegan Business Tribe was going to be. It was going to be a lot more community-based. It was going to be a lot more peer-to-peer rather than us just broadcasting information out there. So that is so important to do. And had we have built what we thought our business were going to be day one, yes, we'd have gone out of business as soon as we had launched it. But because instead, we gathered together an audience, we found out who was attracted to what we've got to say, then we learned from the audience. That just gave us a far better foundation to launch a business from.
That's super interesting. And the people who's part of the Vegan Business Tribe, is it people mostly in the UK? Is it Europe or US? Because nowadays everything is online, so you can get like customers from all over the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the thing that we always say about vegan business owners. It's not geography which draws us together. It's our ethics. It is our burning desire to actually, you know, create a cruelty-free, fairer world, you know, where animals aren't throwaway commodities. And most businesses don't have that drive behind them. Most businesses aren't on that kind of mission. So yeah, it doesn't matter where people are. We do have a large percentage of our members in Europe. That's simply because we're based in Europe as well. But you know, for some reason, just over this last 6 months, we are getting more and more US members as well, which is absolutely fantastic. But we're picking up members in Africa, in Japan, in New Zealand, quite a few in Australia and places like this. And I think it just goes to show the breadth and width of veganism at the moment. So wherever you've got a vegan bubble and vegan things happening, you've got people who are rising up to service that. You know, we've even got a couple of members over in Ukraine at the moment, and we are doing everything we can to help them get their businesses, you know, set up and running. So yeah, geography is important. And we did just last week, in fact, we actually ran our first New Zealand only vegan business drive meetup just for our New Zealand members. And it is nice when you've got people who are all from the same culture and all from the same place just to get to know each other. But I love it when I come onto one of our networking events and we've got people from the US, people from Canada, people from South America, people from Europe, people from Africa, people from Japan, even sometimes people from countries that I have to go and Google to find out where they are sometimes. No, but it just shows that, you know, how far veganism is moving across the world at the moment.
Yeah. And what are you seeing as well? Is there any trends of what people are building? Is it like direct to consumer brands, like more food products, or what are people building?
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting question, because when you think about starting a vegan business, you obviously think about food, because like we say, with veganism, that's a place where everybody starts. But only 50% of our members have got anything to do with food or drink. And this is something that a lot of people don't see. And in fact, when journalists contact us at Vegan Business Tribe just to ask about, you know, the state of a vegan marketplace, this is a really interesting conversation that I have with them. You know, because we've got all these vegan food companies who have set up and are quite well established now, we've seen a shadow economy of vegan service companies raise up to service these companies as well. So yeah, we've got all sorts of, you know, vegan web designers, vegan programmers, vegan graphic designers. We've even got the more boring industries. We actually had our first vegan CPA join us last week. And, you know, over here in the UK, we've got vegan accountants, we've got vegan lawyers. So it's really interesting now that people are reaching that same point in their life where they've already built a career, they've already got skills. So if they're saying, how do I help the vegan cause move forwards? Why start again? Start with the skills that you've already got, because you're going to have a far bigger impact. So if you are an accountant, then use those accountancy skills to move the vegan cause forwards. And one of the conversations we'll have with Vegan Business Tribe members, they'll say, well, there's probably not a big enough audience for me. So we do have a number of vegan graphic design agencies, and one who really wanted to transition to being publicly a vegan company, they'd put it off for about 2 years because they said, well, if we go out there saying we are a vegan design agency, there were just not enough vegan businesses for us to do work with. And as we've already said, vegan businesses don't have any money. But what we found is nobody dislikes the idea of a vegan company, because most companies, most people who aren't vegan, should we say, they view veganism as somebody just being ethical and environmentally conscious, because that's what they see veganism as. And everybody wants an ethical and environmentally conscious supplier. In fact, if you're supplying to large companies, you being a vegan company is something that they can use. They can use that to prove how they're trying to reduce their carbon footprint by using vegan businesses and things like that. So actually, even these businesses who go out there and say, yes, we are a vegan graphic design agency or a vegan web development agency, they are picking up a lot of non-vegan customers just because they like the idea of having a supplier who is ethical and environmentally conscious.
That's super, super interesting that it's kind of much broader than what people would think, that it's just around food, because that's basically what pops up. Like when people are talking a lot about veganism, it's like this new brand that you can go and try and eat this and the new burger and whatnot. So I think what you're saying is super, super interesting. I remember I interviewed this guy as well on the podcast earlier, who is a graphic designer or branding agency in Holland. And he is also plant-based. He just worked with a plant-based industry. And I thought that was a great point of view as for branding as well, because in this very busy world that we live in, like having a clear, crisp message is also something that people connect with and they feel like, oh, this is for me, because otherwise you're just like one of many, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just on that point, I'll say it again, use the skills you already have. If you want to move a vegan cause forwards, then just take a look at what you already know, where you can have an impact, and how can you veganize them? How can you use what you've already got? So that example, yes, branding is so powerful. You can do so much with graphic design skills to actually influence people and make people take notice or make people consider things. So yes, if you are a graphic designer, you can use that skill that you spent your entire life learning and perfecting to move a vegan cause forwards.
Yeah. So what's next now for Vegan Business Tribe? Like, where are you guys going?
Gosh, it's been an absolute whirlwind. And it's always one of those things. We have a saying in Europe, I don't know if you've got it over in America, that we call cobbler's shoes. So a cobbler is somebody who mends shoes. And it's always the ironic thing that a cobbler's shoes are always falling apart because they never have time to mend their own shoes. And it's a little bit like that as Vegan Business Tribe. We spend all our time helping people come up with their strategy. But our own strategy is kind of just flying forward. So, you know, everything that's happened over the last 2.5 years has been absolutely amazing. We started out this community just with a few articles online and a few different resources and things like that. And we've expanded now to, gosh, we've got a whole Vegan Business Tribe Academy on there now. We've got various courses. We've got marketing courses. We've got over 30 hours of masterclasses. We've got resource centers and things like that. And so sometimes I just have to kind of stop myself and say, look how much we've actually built over this last couple of years. So we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep expanding that. But the more people that we get on board with our mission, the more impact we can have. So the more our own visibility rises, the more people we have coming to us with opportunities that we can then translate to our members. So, you know, we've already started to have quite a few journalists coming to us. We even had the Japanese tourist board come to us, who understand that they're getting people who are vegan coming on tours to Japan, but Japan aren't yet great at catering for vegan customers. So what can they do to get better than that? And straight away, we've got members over in Japan that we can put them in contact with, who can actually, you know, help and work with them and things like that. So yeah, the bigger we get, the more opportunities we generate for our members. One of the things we're just about to do next month is Vegan Business Tribe Live. And so that is at the London of Olympia. It's a 2-day event. We've got over 20 speakers. We've got workshops. We're doing live dropping business clinics and things like that as well. And just doing something like that, we've been able to subsidize that and get people vastly reduced stalls of that event and all these sort of things as well. So yeah, the more people we get on board, the more revenue we can generate for ourselves, the more opportunities we can find for all our members together.
Oh, that sounds great. And who impresses you at the moment? Anybody in the plant-based space, like a brand or organization that's doing something cool?
Gosh, what a question is that? Now, I tell you what, it'd be really easy to answer this question with the obvious answers, because there are obviously some amazing people doing amazing things at the moment. The Vegan Society, you know, somebody we mentioned right at the start, started back in 1944. You know, that was the end of the Second World War. I think the reason that you and I are now vegan is probably because the work that they did, you know, Donald Watson back in the 40s, first coining this phrase veganism. We forget about these kind of institutions sometimes. We forget that the only reason that we're probably vegan is all the work they've been doing over the last 80 years. You know, so people like that absolutely love what they're doing. They're still more active than ever. What they're doing at the moment in the UK, their latest campaign is actually engaging with schools and education to get them to be bringing veganism into the classroom. So they're actually directly influencing the next generation of vegans, which is absolutely amazing. And I always say, if you're vegan and you are not supporting these kind of groups, so if you're in the Europe, you know, supporting the Vegan Society, and there's also the Vegan Society of America, if you're not supporting these companies, then just go and do it. You know, just absolutely go do these organizations, because they are the ones who are doing all that groundwork, all that behind the scenes work that you don't see. But if I think about actually who, in terms of people who inspire me, one thing we always say at Vegan Business Tribe is it's important not just to have a vegan business, but you've got to actually have a financially sustainable vegan business. And sometimes I get a little bit of flack for this, because, you know, people say, well, you know, money isn't the reason I started the business. You know, money isn't the most important thing in life. And absolutely, but it's probably quite close behind oxygen for things that you need to actually keep going in the world. So, you know, if you're running a business and it's not giving you that sustainable grade and standard of living, then at some point you're going to burn out, and at some point you're going to actually stop doing the amazing work that you're doing. So I think I really respect those vegan activists who come to it from a financially sustainable point of view. So people like Matthew Glover, who started he co-founded with his wife the Veganuary movement here in the UK, which is now going global as well. He went on to found a company called Veg Capital, and now he's also funded Sentient Ventures and things like that. You know, those people who are actually there funding and helping companies set up, always take my hat off to those sort of people. People like Claire Smith from Beyond Investing, again, just really working the financial side of veganism. Because, again, like I say, sometimes I get a little bit of flack about talking about the money that we need in this industry, but you can do far more good in the world with a profit than you will ever do with a loss. Animal agriculture is hugely subsidized. It isn't a level playing field. And when people say that vegan and plant-based food is too expensive, it's not. Meat and dairy are too cheap because they are massively subsidized. So we need to be putting money into this industry. We need individuals and companies actually generating revenue and finance to even out that playing field a little. So absolutely, I really take my hat off to the people who are doing that. But at the same time, I love the people who are out on the street. You know, the people who influence me, the people like John Arwin, who was a person I went and listened to at that vegan festival, the people who have that really big impact on us because they stood right in front of us talking to us. I mean, talking about my vegan journey earlier, I didn't mention one of the people who really had an impact on me was actually one of my employees at the time in the agency that I owned. We all called him Vegan Steven. And we used to take the mickey out of him a little bit, but yeah. Every Monday, he would bring in cakes that him and his wife had made at home, and he wouldn't shout about them. He'd just leave them out in the staff canteen, and we'd eat those, and we'd go, these are vegan. How are these vegan? You know, and that had such an impact on my whole view of what vegan food was. So yeah, I love the people out there raising the big bucks and doing the great things, but just anybody who is doing that direct one-on-one, leading people across that line into veganism, they're absolutely wonderful.
All right. I think that's a good point to wrap up on. So how can people find you online? On website, Twitter, like where are you?
We are absolutely everywhere. So if you just go to the website, veganbusinesstribe.com, but also go take a listen to the Vegan Business Tribe podcast. It's a little bit different to most podcasts, so I don't often do interviews. What I normally do, it's a solo podcast, me giving different bits of business advice, quite a lot of time, people sending their questions. And we talk about business from lots of different aspects and how to run a successful vegan business. So go take a listen to that too.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
You too, Ricard. Thank you so much.
That was our episode for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Green Hero Podcast was produced by Andrew Rojek, and I'm your host, Rickard Björkdahl. I'll see you next week for another conversation from our colorful plant-based world. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast or share this episode with a friend. If you haven't already, you can also find Green Hero in the App Store. Download our app and start enjoying a plant-based lifestyle today. You can also find us on the web at the URL greenhero.life and on Twitter and Instagram, where we operate under the handle Green Hero Life. All right, see you next week. Bye-bye.